Well, you know, I'm never bashful about asking people to hold their hands up in church. So, I have a question. Simple hand. It's not going to get you in any trouble. And if it's too much work to put your hand up, ask your spouse or whoever you're sitting next to put their hand up for you. Because I want to know, how many of you are procrastinators? Good. At least you're honest procrastinators. Did you know there is a patron saint for procrastinators? Yes. The Catholic Church has got a patron saint for everything. Well, today we're going to remember Saint Expedite. I can't make this stuff up, guys. I really can't. Saint Expedite was alive in the early 300s. He was a Roman centurion living in Armenia. He had decided that he was going to become a Christian, and he was going to do it as quickly as possible to start his new life with Christ. On the road, he was met by a talking crow. The officer had resolved, as I said, to convert to Christianity and to do it today. But now this eloquent crow sitting in the tree had come to urge him not to do anything rash. Now be slow with this. The crow had an idea for the centurion. Delay the conversion. Don't rush. Maybe take a day or two or three to think about it. The centurion, though, would not be put off. He insisted on starting his new life as a believer immediately. Realizing that the crow was, in fact, the devil in avian form, arriving to tempt him, the centurion did something remarkable. He pulled the talking bird out of the tree and stomped it to death. And then he went on to become a Christian as soon as possible. And then, because it was against the law for a centurion to be a Christian, the state lost no time in having him martyred. He has traveled all over the world. He is the patron saint in many, many places. But I know that some of you have deep roots on the other side of the Sabine River in Louisiana. He is a venerated saint in New Orleans. Why do it today when you can do it tomorrow? Saint Expedite, witness of faith to the point of martyrdom, in exercise of good, you make tomorrow today. You live in the fast time of the last minute, always projecting yourself towards the future. Saint Expedite, give me strength of my heart that I will not look back and I will not postpone. Can you imagine that in New Orleans? Nah. Have another question for you. Do any of you ever have dreams where you're at school or at work and you're facing a deadline or something's going on and you simply cannot get it together? I have this dream on a reasonably recurring pattern. I'm back in my old life in the Episcopal Church. And the Episcopal Church that is in this dream is a maze. I mean, it just goes everywhere. I can't find anything or anyone to put the thing together. I can't find my vestments. I can't find the Book of Common Prayer. Somebody's coming to visit. I can only assume that is the bishop. And I'm running around, scurrying around. I have even had this dream where I didn't have my pants on. I'm running around in the vesting room in my boxer shorts. And somebody important's coming, and I can't find my vestments, and I can't find my prayer book. And then when I go out, the church should be right across the hall. Well, it's not there. And I run around and around and around. And those of you who work in high-pressure jobs, you know what it means to face a deadline. And you may have had that dream. Those of you who are students, oh, you may have had that dream as well about studying for a test or arriving at the testing place and finding that you haven't opened a book. Or you get to your classroom and there is a test that you didn't even know about. All these things come. You know, it is a fear that we all carry somehow in the back of our head that I think connects with procrastination. But we're afraid that something's going to happen and we're not going to be prepared. Now, if you share that fear with me, back here in that brain, reptilian brain stem we have back here, you know, at the very base of our brain, have I got a deal for you. For the next four Sundays, we're going to talk about you getting ready. And it's not to put up the Christmas tree. It's about getting ready for Jesus. Many skeptics would say, well, it's been a little over 2,000 years. He said he would come back and he ain't shown up yet. And then some of us who are filled with faith go, I bet we're closer to it now than we were back then. Either way, Jesus says to all of us, get ready. And the church provides us with about four Sundays to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ at the close of the age. He wants us to be ready. He doesn't want us to get caught flat-footed, ill-prepared, or if you can imagine the image, me standing there in the vesting room in my boxer shorts. The Lord wants us to be prepared. In the gospel for today, Jesus is talking about two separate events. One of those events is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And about that, he says, this current generation will not pass away before that particular event will happen. Now, he's talking in about 31, 32, 33 AD. And by 70 AD, the temple is destroyed by the Romans. But that story gets what theologians refer to as conflated. It gets put together with Jesus' words about the close of time. So you have to kind of follow both threads. One of them about the close of time in 70 AD, when the Jews simply couldn't imagine that life could go on if the temple were destroyed. It was the visible structural symbol of Judaism. They just couldn't imagine. But Jesus also talks to us about a time at the end of time. Now, sometimes, how many times? It sounds like a drinking game. Time. Every time I say time, you take a drink. No. Don't do that. The close of the age. When Jesus will come back, or when our own time comes. We know that euphemism. People passing. I hate those terms. People die. People die every day. Unfortunately, sometimes people die way too early in the time frame that we would set for them. Way too early. Jesus is telling us whether we live to that time when He returns, or whether our going to Him, and what the early church often referred to is falling asleep in the Lord, because they knew it wasn't permanent. It was like a long nap before you go to the kingdom. When we die, will we be prepared to meet our Lord? This time, here we go again with that word, these next 4 weeks are time for us to consider a little internal housekeeping. Before you start worrying about where you're going to put the Christmas tree, what's the mantle going to look like this year, can I find the Advent wreath, take a little time to think about your soul. How are you going to decorate your soul for the coming of Jesus? How are you going to be prepared? Whether that coming comes at the close of the age, or whether that coming comes later on this afternoon because you weren't looking and you stepped out in front of a metro bus or the train, which seems to get somebody at least once a week. But that's another story for another day. Don't procrastinate. Do what you need to do to get your lives internally ready for the Son of Man. Because we do not know at what hour or day He will come, or our end will come. And so the best thing I can tell you is the same thing that Jesus said. Be prepared and watch. Now, speaking of being prepared and the time coming, I hope many of you have taken the time. How many times can I say that word? Somebody start keeping a tabulation. Too many. I hope that many of you, if not all of you, have taken a moment with your household to fill out your card that is between you and your Lord. We're just asking you to tell Him, not us. As we've said before, these are not going to be counted. They're not going to be tabulated. Nobody's going to look at them. They're simply a reminder for us that we need to put our stewardship of treasure on the front burner and not on the back burner. That the ministry of this church happens because faithful people just like you make sacrificial gifts every Sunday. So, if you have filled yours out today, you can do one of three things. First off, if you're not too embarrassed, you can come forward at this time and put it in that fishbowl with all the others. Or if there is a young person
in your pew. Give him a quarter, give her a quarter, and send her down because she's not going to be nearly as self-conscious as you are, okay? And I understand that. You can wait and put it in the alms basin when it comes by. Fold it in half, though, because it's nobody's business but yours and God's. And last of all, when you come up to receive the sacrament, come and drop it in as you come forward. So let's just take a moment, especially if you've got young people, or if you're not too self-conscious, please come forward at this moment and drop it into the fishbowl. Absolutely. I'm not seeing any kids. Where are my kids? Come on, calm the kids. There we go. Look at her. Now we're in business. Oh, look. You know, and again, I want to remind you to take a look next week and the week following as this begins to fill up. The different colors of cards, they simply are an outward and visible sign of our community. We come in all sorts of colors. You know, people in our culture talk about diversity every Sunday. We live diversity. And as I have told you before, take a long look around. Because if you don't like the way it looks here, you're not going to like heaven. That's just a plain fact. Because truly, 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 whether it's in this church or whether it's in heaven, we are all in this together. Thank you all very much.